Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, OMG, I'm freaking out, where we talk about toddler escape artists and toys that make you go, And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is episode 127. Shauna.
Hi.
So 127 episodes in, I think you know what I'm going to ask you.
Do I want $1 million?
Well, I could, I let me check my pockets to see if I have that before I ask you if I can offer that. In the meantime, why don't you tell me how old that toddler of yours is and what's going on with you guys this week?
Okay, she's 22 months and 4 weeks, and I have a couple things to talk about. Very exciting. Yes, the first is she has learned how to whistle, and I put whistle in quotes, you know, like the little dog whistle, like... You know, like when you're trying to call a dog or whatever. So I do that to the dogs all the time. And so Elle has not learned to whistle, right? The last couple of years, she thinks she's whistling. It's so cute, right? She goes, woo, whoop, woo, whoop, and like just does it with her voice. And so Cece, of course, has caught on to this. Elle's been teaching her. She's like, oh my God, mama, daddy, she's whistling, she's whistling. And so here's Cece, you know, she's like, woo, whoop, woo, whoop, and calling the dogs. But the real kicker is that she has started doing it to get my attention and Steve's attention. Like, if she's like, oh my God, knack, 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 and we don't pay attention soon enough, she's like, whoop, 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 whoop. And like, to get our attention like we're dogs.
Oh my God, that is so funny, because my guy, so we don't have dogs, right? So we don't have like an audible thing. But you know the thing you do where you like, I don't know if you do this. I was taught that like to get cats to come over to you, you kind of like rustle your fingers together. Like,
I can't even imagine what that sounds like. I used to do like, or like, pss, 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 pss.
Yeah, it's sort of like the I don't know. Let's see if my mic will pick it up. Let's see.
Oh, so like a really light, not a snap, but a kind of like really light.
You keep your fingers straight and you just rub them back and forth. And I don't know. It's always worked really well for my cats. And so it's just something I have it. I do. I just rub my fingers together and they come. And so my guy has started doing that. But I noticed he started doing it to me, too. So he wants me to come. And he puts his arm out and just starts doing the little.
He's like, what is just another sign language? You've been teaching me that for months.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay. So our children are calling us like pets. So that's cool. Oh my God. So yeah, so I have to respond when she says woo, whoop, woo, whoop.
That is too funny. Anyway, do the dogs come when she does that?
No, of course not. Those dogs are stubborn. They barely even come when I whistle, like a real whistle. They're just like doo doo doo, whatever, whatever. So sassy. The other big news this week is that Cece just all of a sudden was like potty. Just potty. I'm doing it. And she was like, the toilet is where it's at. And
really?
She just, yes, all of a sudden, she just one day, it's like it all clicked. You know, I've just kind of slowly been introducing the idea to her. And a few days ago, all of a sudden, she was like pulling down her pants, you know, kind of scooting with her pants around her ankles, like over to the bathroom. She's like, she doesn't say pee-pee. It's so cute. She says, tee-tee, and goes to the potty. And I was like, oh man, we need something for her to sit on, because she was like falling into the big hole in the toilet.
Oh, because she wanted to use the big person toilet.
Yes, yes. So, you know, the potty I got her, the one that sings like a princess song, zero interest. It fucking hates that thing. So then, like, this old cheap little potty that we use with Elle, she likes that a little bit better. But this week in shoes, just like, all of a sudden, I'm a big girl. I have to do it like my sister. And just all about it. Like, every single time she had to pee, she like ran over there. So I was like, all right, I guess this is it. You know, I didn't have plans yet to do the oh crap method or anything serious. And I was like, well, you showed me you're ready, and I just need to follow your lead. Because if I don't do it now, who knows? She might regress back on it, and it might just be a longer road.
Sure, you might miss that window, right?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. So I was like, okay, Steve, here we go. And I just generally followed the oh crap method based on what I remember from reading 3 years ago. which is, you know, and I kind of recall it from our conversations.
Sure, yeah. I kind of gave you a refresher recently.
Yeah. Exactly. So we just did naked for several days, and she had some accidents. Poop was a lot trickier for her, and pees were pretty spot on. And I should say that I did end up getting her a potty seat. We got her little Paw Patrol, kind of like a cushy thing to go on top of the toilet, for one for each bathroom. And, you know, so she runs in there. She's like, Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol, starts singing a song. And she like names everyone on her toilet seat. She's like, Rubble, Sky. So it's very cute. And she's really into it. And, you know, I'm like, that's it. No more diapers. Like, once you go there, in my mind, once we go there, there's no turning back, no matter, you know, how long it takes for her to get it, and except for naps and bedtime. And she's just so proud. She's like, undies, 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 undies. I'm like, let's hold off on undies. We're supposed to do naked and commando for a little bit.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There you go. I've been looking for one of those, like, on top of the toilet seat ones for us, because I think my guy's interested in that as well, but you can't do one of the ones that fold down like that, like installs with the toilet seat with the boy bump, like the splash guard thing, right? Because it doesn't fold down with it. I haven't found one. Maybe our listeners know of one, because I haven't found one. But
That's so true, because we do have one of those that we used with Elle. Cece didn't really care about it. She wasn't enticed by it. That's why we got our potty seats. But you're right. Yeah, it doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. It is a very cool thing, though, to just have a toilet seat and then the little, you know, training seat folds up into it. It's very cool.
Yeah, it seems really convenient, especially when you don't have a lot of bathrooms like we don't. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I think also it just kind of trains them to be able to use toilets anywhere, as opposed to like only being able to use their little specific toilet they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to have to send them off to college with a little,
little wedding day with a potty seat is not attractive.
Well, that's exciting, though. Has it been like stressful or
incredibly stressful?
Because you sound very chill about it.
I'm not chill. I am so stressed out because it takes an eagle eye. Like you said, you really want to keep an eye on them. And it is so hard for me to keep an eye on both kids all the time. You know, it's like one kid's running to one side of the house, the other kid's calling me from the side of the house. Steve is working all the time. His job is just much busier than mine right now. So he's, I don't want to say no help, but I mean, it's like, I feel like most of the duty is falling on me while I'm managing two kids.
Yeah.
My job, which is less work, but it's just one more thing. And then cleaning up accidents. It's like, oh, she poops on the floor. Quick, I'll get her to the potty. So, you know, she associates the two. And I come back to clean it up and my freaking dog is eating the shit off the floor. And I'm just like, oh my God. So now I have to like take her to the potty, make sure the dog doesn't get it. I'm real wound up about it. To be honest.
Okay. All right. You could have fooled me by the way you were talking about it at first.
I guess because I'm just feeling really proud of her for doing it. And so I do think it's really cool. But I'm not going to lie. It's very stressful for me.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I think is good is that I've heard people use the term potty learning or toilet learning instead of training, which is, I think, a very subtle and good way to reframe it. Because when you think about it as a skill they're in the practice of learning, then you don't think that, oh yeah, they should just have it down pat in 3 days, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Depending on their age too, I bet. I'm sure it's different. If a child is ready at 3 years old to be out of diapers, they might have a concept, you know, a little bit better to do it in a few days. But, you know, Cece's not even two, and your guy's not even two.
Yeah.
So it really is a whole learning curve. And, you know, earlier I was like, oh, no diapers, you know, we're no turning back. But I have to say, a couple days, I was really questioning myself. I was like, oh my God, did I make the wrong decision? Because she'll have a good day and like not so good day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can like pick up any more poop and clean up more accidents. Like, God, let's just go to pull-ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I stick it out and the next day she has a great day and has no accidents. So yeah, it's a learning curve.
That's such a good lesson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we had the same thing. I think on day two, I was like, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I making life harder for myself? But once you get over that hump, it's much easier, you know? Once you sort
good.
Yeah, it was for us. Also, once you sort of, I've discovered that at least with pee accidents, we've been lucky with the poop. He's done poop pretty well. But with pee accidents, it's a little easier to clean up when they're like in pants because it doesn't spray everywhere, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly.
So there's that. But
there is that.
It does. It is very stressful those first couple of days. Like for me, I was definitely questioning it like you were.
Yeah. But we are going full steam ahead. And it sounds like there's better days ahead from your experience. And
I hope so.
I will check back in on our journey next week, I'm sure.
You better. Yeah.
I will.
We'll be at the edge of our toilet seat for that.
That's a good one. That's it for us this week. How are you doing?
Hey, we're good. I'm good. So I'll start with my toddler. He is 22 months old this week. And so this week we are recording was election week in America, presidential elections. And I'm not going to get too much into it. Hopefully, when you're listening to this, everything will be resolved and much calmer. But this has just generally been a very high stress week. Like, speaking of stress, good week to choose to start potty training, Shauna.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Cece. Cece decided. Shauna did not decide.
Cece's like, what else can we add to your plate? So I think no matter, you know, what your political leanings are, it's been a stressful week. Like, you know, everything's up in the air. We don't really know who's won. You know, like all this stuff is going on this week. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm glued to the news because we all are. We don't want to be, but just I can't help it. And that ambient stress, I'm thinking, is translating into my toddler's behavior this week. And I'm going to just give you one example. So we went to Descanso Gardens this week and it was gorgeous. It was like a perfect day. It was like 72 degrees and sunny and just there was a nice cool breeze. It was awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's go to Descanso and just enjoy the outdoors. I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday when everything was really stressful.
Well, that's a good place to go on a stressful day.
That was my big plan, right? Like just get out, right? So we get to Descanso. We're walking around. It's beautiful. There's so much beautiful nature, but there are also carts, gardening carts. You know what I'm talking about?
Like golf cart style?
Kind of. Yeah. They're like open back. They're like little trucks, basically. Which, you know. Yeah, exactly.
I bet I know who fixated on those.
Yeah, it was me. I was obsessed. No. So my toddler was very interested in these carts. And he always is. Like, they'll go by and he'll go, cart, cart. And I'll be like, yeah, cart. But usually we can, like, keep walking, right? This time, we walk, like, we take a left getting into the gardens. And then we just, like, walk a couple steps. There's a cart. And he's just staring at it, right? And so at first, I'm just like, whatever. Just let him have his interest, you know? Sure, there's, like, turtles in the pond and leaves falling from the trees. And we're having a perfect day. But there's a gardener's cart. But he keeps, like, inching closer. And then he thinks he's being sneaky or something. He goes, like, touch it? And I'm like, no, we can't. We're not going to touch it, baby. It's not ours. And he goes, ride it? Or he goes, this is what he says. He goes, drive it? Drive it? Like, and I'm like, honey, we can't drive it. It's not our car. It's not safe for 22-month-olds to drive cars. Like, you know, and for all these reasons. And the gardener came by. And sometimes the gardeners there are so nice. They're like, look, I have a steering wheel. You know, like they get all into it and show the kids stuff. This gardener was like not having it. Probably because the week everyone was having a hard time. And he was just like, he had his shoes in the front seat of it. And he was like, let me move those because I think he thought that my guy was going to like steal his shoes or something.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so my guy keeps inching forward. And then I like put my hand gently on his shoulder if he got too close. I'm like, we can't get too close. This isn't ours. We can look, but not touch. And he starts like trying to wriggle out of my shoulders, trying to sneak in, try to climb into the cart. And so finally I'm like, if you try to touch the cart or climb into the cart one more time, we're going to have to go somewhere else. We're going to have to leave the cart. And then he immediately does it. And so I put on my Janet Lansbury cap and is like, okay, toddlers, they want boundaries. They want us to stick with our stated boundaries. So let's go. So I'm like, okay, baby, time to go. I pick him up. And usually if something like that happens, he'd get kind of like make a kind of half whine, but then get distracted, right? Mm-hmm. This time.
Oh, no.
Full-fledged meltdown. like screaming, kicking, fat tears rolling down his cheeks, going, "Cart! Cart! Cart!" And I am that mom at the gardens by myself, you know, 6 months pregnant, trying to wrestle a toddler. Everyone's looking at me, and I'm trying to be like, trying to keep my calm and be like, you know, you were trying to get in the cart, that's off limits, blah, blah, blah. And he's just losing his shit.
Oh, God. I hate when that happens in public.
It's the worst. And so I'm having trouble, like, managing him, too, physically, because I can't really, like, wrestle him too much. I have to be really careful with my stomach because my doctor has warned me, you know, because I had had a C-section before, everyone who's had a C-section essentially needs to be a little extra careful with their scar because it's a little weaker, right? And so he always tells me to be careful about getting pummeled in the stomach or anything like that. So I'm trying to be really careful. I can't really throw him over my shoulder in public. And I guess I could have, but I like thought that was a bridge too far. Anyway, I finally wrestle him into the stroller that I brought along, which he doesn't like riding in, and get him to go to another part of the park, right? And this is after, like, a good 10 minutes of just screaming, crying. I try to, like, shove a snack in his mouth, you know, because I'm like, he must be hungry. Finally, he calms down, and we're, like, trying to wander around some other part of the gardens. And what happens?
Oh, no. Another cart!
Cart drives by. This time, the cart drives into an area with a big sign that says, employees only. So I spend the next, like, 20 minutes trying to, like, constantly redirect my toddler from running into the off-limits area. And I was like, I literally got to the point where I was like, do you see this sign? I know you can't read, but it literally tells us it's off-limits. We have another full-fledged fit, and I finally am like, okay, it's time to leave the gardens. And so we left. But the thing I couldn't figure out, like, at the time was, I was like, that was such an outsized reaction. Is this, like, coming into the terrible twos or what? But then it kind of occurred to me is, like, you know what? I think he's picking up on all our anxiety. Like,
that's possible.
I think the general stress of the world and mommy and daddy constantly checking alerts on their phone and CNN being on in the background is, like, doing this to him. Like, it's making him feel anxious. And that kind of made me feel a little better in that I realized I needed to manage my anxiety to manage his, basically.
Right.
So I tried to have a better, I tried to, like, chill out, stop checking everything all the time. And yeah, he had a couple better days after that. But I thought that was a really interesting, because, you know, he's generally pretty chill. Like, we haven't had a ton of those massive tantrums. And it was just so out of the blue and so outsized. It really took me by surprise.
There's probably an element of not getting the attention from you guys at that time. I notice whenever I'm, like, really busy with work or whatever I need to do and I can't focus on the kids as much, you know, I really focus on them a lot most of the time, but when I can't be there, I notice much more agitation, emotional outbursts, stuff like that. So it was probably, like, a little mix of both, because I'm assuming you were so, you know, occupied by the news and the alerts and stuff that...
Yeah, and normally I don't have the TV on during the day when we're just playing in the living room together, you know? So I'm sure that has something to do with it. Something my mommy and me teacher always says is that, like, so when you see that sort of really, like, demanding, whining, all that kind of what a lot of people might, like, label as bad behavior, right? What the underlying need is a, like, need for connection, right? That they're seeking connection. And by doing what they're doing, they think they'll get it, right? So I try to remember that.
That's good. That is hard when they break down in public. I remember when Elle did that at that age in Rite Aid, the drugstore near us, and she wanted a candy or something, and just I was like, no, you can't have the candy, and she just flopped on the floor just, like, screaming. Oh my God, I did. I, like, stopped the checkout and picked her up and just, like, she was writhing in my arms and just walked right out of that store. My cheeks were so red. I was so embarrassed, but tried to keep my inner calm while I took her out of the store. It was agonizing.
It's so hard to not just give them the candy.
I know, right? I could have solved that problem real quick.
I know. I mean, but you bad modeling or whatever, but I don't think anyone would have judged you if you did, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was a bit of an interesting toddler situation this week. And then quickly, I am 26 weeks pregnant. But there are two pretty cool things this week with the pregnancy. One is that the movement in my belly has changed from just like visible kicks to now being like visible drags and rolls.
I don't know why that always like ekes me out, but yeah, it is cool.
It ekes me out too. I mean, it's cool. It's cool and weird. Like things can be cool and weird at the same time, right? So yeah, I mean, I just looked down. I was feeling a lot of movement and looked down the other day and it was just like from one side of my abdomen to the other, it was just like lump rolling across.
Oh, gosh.
So weird. But it also like Corey now can really observe the baby moving without having to be, in, you know, even on the same side of the couch, right?
He's across the room.
Yeah. He's like, oh, the baby's busy.
That's cool.
And then the other fun thing, or good news, I should say, is that I passed my glucose test.
Oh, yay. That's good news. Good.
According to my doctor, I passed it with flying colors, which always, I know I have zero control over whether my pancreas is working properly right now, but like, I love a gold star. So I'm just like, yay.
A+. Good job.
Yeah.
And it's good. It saves you from the agony of that 3-hour test that was a nightmare. If you remember, I failed my test and had to go do the 3-hour test, and it was just nauseating. So I'm so glad you don't have to do that.
Yeah. And I'm just really glad I don't have to worry about diabetes on top of everything else in this pregnancy. So I know a ton of people who had gestational diabetes, and you know, I know it's totally manageable and most of the time it ends up fine. And it's just, I feel for people who get it because it's just another thing you have to deal with, you know, with all your restrictions already. And then you have to deal with that. So that's a relief.
Yay!
A relief. And then one final thing is that in those blood tests, my doctor, so I got blood tests done at the same time to make sure everything was okay. And my doctor told me I had something called false anemia of pregnancy.
What is that?
Well, I wanted to mention it because it's nothing is what it is. It's like a nothing burger. But
okay.
If people run into this, if they're looking at their own lab results and stuff, I wanted to mention it so that they know that because your like blood volume increases when you're pregnant, not all the blood tests you get are like the ranges that you get are accurate. So, you know, when you get a blood test and then you get like the report back and it says like your hemoglobin should be between X number and Y number, right? And if it's not, you're either high or low. Well, I guess false anemia of pregnancy is where your numbers are low, like hemoglobin and red blood cell count and stuff like that. But it's just because you have more blood volume. So like, it's like by percentage of blood volume. And so they're not actually low. It's just that the tests don't, like they don't have the numbers set up for pregnant people. So if you run into that, you should definitely ask your doctor what like the right range of numbers for your tests are for your trimester. Because it changes per trimester too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know.
So okay. I'm fake anemic.
Okay. So you don't need to eat more steaks.
I don't, because I eat a lot of hamburgers these days and I take my prenatals. So
good.
All right. But that's it for me this week.
All right.
Should we move on to our special segment after a quick break?
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week we have our special segment, OMG, I'm Freaking Out, where, as the name states, we talk about things that we've learned lately or been going through lately that are freaking us out. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
Okay, so back in October, I was doing my morning scroll on Facebook after I woke up, like you do. And on my Pasadena Moms Facebook group and my Pasadena and San Gabriel Valley Moms Facebook group and my Northeast Los Angeles Moms Facebook group, all the Facebook moms wow. groups in the area. I'm in a lot.
But all the local ones, you're saying?
Yes, all the local ones. Okay. They all had a similar post. Everyone was resharing this post. And it was, does anyone know this little girl? Like, who is this little girl? Do you know her parents? And it was a picture of a little girl who was somewhere between the ages of 2 and 3. And she looked fine and healthy. But the story was that she was found on the street in her PJs holding a sippy cup at 2 a.m.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just standing there. And everyone was like, you know, the Pasadena Police Department's looking for the parents, you know, let us know. And then, so just like an hour later, there was an update. It was like, update, her parents have been found, everyone's safe and good, and like, no one needs to worry anymore, right? Uh-huh. And of course, they linked to the Pasadena Now news article about it. And here's what they said.
Okay.
Okay. A citizen found the child wearing pajamas, holding a bottle, and wearing no shoes, police said in a written statement. She appeared healthy and unharmed. Investigators began scouring the neighborhood looking for signs of the girl's family and reached out to the public for help. And then the child's, quote, frantic mother called the police at about 8:45 a.m. to report finding her daughter missing and the front door of her home open.
Oh, no.
And this is what I'm freaking out about, Shauna, because turns out she was 3 and she was found about 400 yards from her home, it turns out. She just
That's pretty far for a little toddler.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it's not like miles, right? Like, she hadn't gone, she had kind of like gone out of the house and walked a block or something, right?
That's like blocks. 4 football fields.
Okay,
I don't
that's
know.
True. That's true. That
I
is.
I can't imagine, but, you know, my kid's about 2. So I guess there's a difference.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, so far, but not like another city, right? Like, she hadn't been transported anywhere.
Oh, right,
and
right,
as far as we can tell, what happened was the 3-year-old got out of bed, got out of her room, grabbed her sippy cup, walked out the front door, and just kept walking.
Wow.
And
oh my God, that's terrifying.
Terrifying, right? Mm-hmm. But immediately my thought was, what's stopping my kid from doing that? Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, not too much, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I have baby gates, but we don't always remember to close them at night because we don't, you know, honestly, we close them at night because my elderly cat can't jump over them. And that stops him from, like, scratching at our door in the morning if he's hungry.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, you know, we don't always remember because it's not a huge priority to make sure the cat doesn't wake, you know, scratch at our door. And we have nothing on our exterior doors. And in my toddler's room, the thing about our house is, like, basically every room has a door to the outside.
Oh, yeah.
His room has a door to the outside. It goes to the backyard. So we'd have to, like, go into the backyard and then find a way to open the gate. But, you know, again, it's just a deadbolt on the gate from the inside, which he can reach now. Like, I'm realizing he can reach the deadbolts. He can reach the handles on the doors. He hasn't quite figured out how to do the handles because they're like old-fashioned knobs. But I was just like, oh, shit. Like, I've baby-proofed the house. I have not toddler-proofed the house.
True. And I have to say, I have a preschooler, and it never occurred to me to do anything to the front door beyond just the regular deadbolt. Yeah, that's totally freaky. And I don't know about your guy, but Cece pulls stools, chairs, all kinds of stuff to reach higher things. Like, she could easily reach the deadbolt.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and my guy's getting tall enough that he can, like, kind of get his hands around it already. I mean, I don't think he's strong enough to be on his tippy toes and turn it, figuring that out, but it's just a matter of time. So, yeah. I definitely had, like, a full day freak out about that and have been doing a deep dive trying to figure out how you baby-proof, like, exterior doors and what kind of products to get. Like, I don't know if you have those thingies you put over the doorknobs, right? The, I don't even know what you call them. They're like plastic.
They're child-proofing doorknob covers. It's like you have to somehow pinch through the holes on it. You know, an adult can do it. But kids can't really get it. Just turns and turns and turns. So that's good. That's an option. Yeah, if you have a regular doorknob.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to look into those. I'm curious to hear from our listeners what other products there are out there, like, to keep things safe. I did find this thing made by Safety First, the Safety First brand. It's a secure mount deadbolt lock, and it looks like this housing you put over a deadbolt. So I'm going to look into those.
Oh. Well, that's cool. I have a couple suggestions too. Because
yeah?
we have baby proofed quite a few things, especially when we had that above ground pool in our backyard.
Oh yeah.
And it didn't have a fence or anything. So the first thing we did was try to, you know, make sure the kids didn't go out the doors and windows. So the chain locks are really good, you know, like on hotels or whatever from the inside. We just really high up. So that's one thing that stops the door from opening. We have door and window alarms on all the doors and windows. So, and at night, like the house alarm automatically goes on. And
so we don't have an alarm.
Oh, yeah. If she opened the door, it would just be like, wee, 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 wee. And so all that stuff is really helpful. And just regular old baby locks, like that you can stick on with 3M strips. We have some of those on the sliding glass door. So that's all stuff we can do to the front door. Have I done it to the front door? No. Am I going to do it now? Yes.
I feel like it's also a thing where there's probably a narrow window where it's a really big problem, because if your kid's old enough to understand it's not safe to go out the front door, mm-hmm. it's not as big of a deal. But there's a gap, right? There's like mm-hmm. a dead space between when kids really can like understand the danger and know that there are consequences, and there's a gap between when they're like physically able to do something and then like mentally able to like know it's not a good idea.
Yes.
And that's the scary phase.
Very scary. I'd say between about 2 and 4, because that's about when Elle learned and a real sense of fear kicked mm-hmm. in around then. It's like she understands that it would be terrifying for her to wander out alone at night. But
yeah,
you know, kids, Cece's age and your guys' age, it's more of just like da-da-da-da-da. There's no fear really yet of that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we have stairs too. That's the other thing.
Like, yeah, he could get injured.
Yeah, I mean, those front steps are already a death trap for like adults. I'm always worried about them. They're kind of uneven. I can't believe they passed inspection when we moved in the house, but we put a railing up. But still, he can, you know, I can kind of spot him yeah. when he's doing them by himself. But in the middle of the night, if he wanders out, mm-hmm. or if you have a kid who's a sleepwalker.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what I'm freaking out about. I want to hear from our listeners what they've done. If they've had, I want to know, like, if you had any close calls that, like, that made you realize where you had gaps in your security. And mm-hmm. yeah, let me know, because yes. I'm embarking on this.
Okay. That's very scary. Well, thank you for sharing.
This terrifying thing. It is called OMG, I'm freaking out, right? It's like,
yes, that's the whole point. That's the whole point.
To be fair, he's never even tried to get out of his crib yet, so at least there's that.
That
We're
is still true.
Safe
that is
there.
Cece is a step closer, because she can just, you know, go right out of her little open toddler bed. But she can't even open doors yet or anything. She can barely reach him. She must be a lot shorter than your guy.
I wonder. I haven't measured my guy in a while. We'll have to. We should get them against a wall and measure and compare notes.
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. All right. So that was my OMG, I'm freaking out. Shauna, do you have one for us?
I do. Okay. I recently received a kid's toy from someone in my Buy Nothing group, and I'm kind of freaking out about it, and I need to talk about it.
Okay.
So after receiving this item and being kind of freaked out about it, I did some research online to see what it is exactly, and it's a toy called Orb Oddities Fusion Foods.
Okay.
And here's what it says about it on their website. Orb Oddities Fusion Foods are the appealing collectible with a fun surprise waiting inside. From sweet treats to wacky what-sits, which one will you reveal when you pull back the peel? So that's kind of fun, right? So this is a company. They have lots of products. They're squishy little animals for kids and slime and stuff like that. And uh-huh. this particular toy, it's got a really fun idea. It's like a fake fruit that you can peel the outer peel, but what's inside is like, aha, it's not an orange, or aha, it's not what you're expecting, right? So that's kind of fun. So the one I got from my neighbor is a banana.
Okay.
And
classic peelable fruit.
Exactly. And going online, I saw that they offer bananas, pea pods, corn on the cob, you know, all that like stuff that you peel.
Okay.
So I received this thing, and it's very squishy and kind of sticky, almost like a really soft, floppy silicone kind of rubbery feeling, like the kind of thing that if you leave it on your couch, it will pick up dog hair and dust and like little things immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you imagine
yeah.
that texture.
Uh huh. Sure.
So the banana has a blue peel. It's about 5 to 6 inches long. And I peeled it. And Laura, I'm just going to send you a video of me peeling it. Okay.
Right.
And just tell me what you think.
Okay. So I'm going to. Okay, Shauna, you look very, like, before I even hit play, you look very resigned. Like, you look a little like, what am I getting myself into? All right. Okay, so you've got this blue banana thing in your hand.
Uh-huh.
You're okay. You're peeling it back the first layer. Okay. Second layer. That, looks like something else.
Right. That's the whole idea of these toys.
Okay.
What color is the thing inside, Laura?
It is what I would call flesh-colored for a white person.
Uh-huh.
It is long and girthy is the term I might use for it.
Uh-huh.
There's a little indentation towards the top of it, like a little line that goes horizontally.
Uh-huh.
But definitely indicates something that... Something anatomical. The top even has a little, like, little divot in the very top at the very tip.
Oh, God.
And then you get to the front and it's a thumb.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm sorry, it looks like a dildo. It's just 100% a dildo marketed for kids. And
it looks exactly like a dildo. Although it looks like a way too floppy dildo, if I'm going to be honest.
That's a thing. That almost makes it creepier, right? There. It is just this very soft, very floppy, just flesh-colored, flaccid dildo for children. It is so wild. So in my deep dive of, you know, what the hell is this product, I came across a video, you know, these unboxing videos that
yes.
people do, kids do. Like, what is this toy? Let me show you. And like in the video, they reveal this thumb. AKA dildo.
It's intended to be a thumb, but it's
yes.
about, yeah, like you said, like 6 or 7 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, thumb.
Good job, thumb. So in this video, the other person is unpeeling a pea pod. And on the inside of the pea pod is kind of like a bright pink round. It's about the same size as the banana. And it's like three bulbous quote-unquote peas inside, and it uh-huh. just looks like an anal play toy. It looks like anal beads. So these kids
yeah.
are playing with these, like squishing and like flopping them against each other and hitting them each other with them. And I'm like, why? What is going on? Why is this a product for children? And I have a pretty good sense of humor. I'm not necessarily prude, but I am just kind of freaking out that this is a thing marketed towards kids.
Okay, so I know, like, my first thought is, like, do we just have dirty minds? Do we just see dildos wherever we go, like, in everything? You look at the clouds and it looks like a dildo.
I'm not that kind of person. I don't know about you.
No, I'm not.
Mm-mm.
But there is, this video you sent me, it undeniably looks like a penis. Like, mm-hmm. absolutely. Even when you see the thumbnail part of it, it's doesn't really make it better.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is very clearly phallic. And the fact, yeah.
I will say, though, Elle was kind of over my shoulder while I was watching that video.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, what does that look like to you? And she's like, a thumb, like immediately. So she's
yeah.
not seeing penises and dildos wherever she goes. So maybe we are just dirty-minded people.
Well, no, I mean, we're adults. That's
yes,
the thing
that's
she's
the thing.
Not.
Yes, exactly.
I would, yeah, I'd have to say that I think this is something I would definitely pass on,
mm-hmm.
like not give to my child, because it does just look like a sex toy. And it does make me think, like, is it some kind of weird, subtle, I don't know.
I don't know. Their whole line is like this. It's corn cobs, pea pods, and bananas that are all about 5 to 6 inches. You peel them and they're like, you know, some of the bananas, it's a surprise inside, right? So some of the bananas are blue, sparkly dildos. And, you know, some of the corns on the cobs are like swirly, I don't know, unicorn poo, quote, dildo. It's just too much for me. Like, if you look at the whole collection laid out on a table, it's just bizarre.
What are they called again? I'm going to look this up.
Orb Oddities Fusion Foods. And every S is actually a Z. fusion foods.
Okay, so when I look on YouTube, it looks like you're not the only person who thinks this looks like a dildo, because like there's all these adults unwrapping it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the Amazon reviews, I have a couple to read.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so here's 1-star review. I'm going to be honest, these don't look like kids' toys. They straight up look like dildos when you take them out of the package. So, okay, I'm not the only one. Another one, 5-star. This toy is absolute magic for any family with a strong sense of humor. My daughter picked out the one in the sale bin. I had no idea I would find a flaccid replica of my favorite toy inside. It's great fun to slap each other with at parties.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, everyone's seeing it. One more thing.
Uh-huh.
I just want to read the description, like the official marketing description of this product on Amazon. I get the sense this is probably written in a different language and then translated poorly.
Sure.
But given what the product is, I find it amusing. These fun and funky mucus peeling fruits are suitable for children age 8 and up, but are also powerful, cool for older kids and fascinate even adults. And from another site, find a delicious surprise inside every Orb Oddities Fusion Foods. Unravel a mystery as you find glitter, a finger, or even unicorn poo. And it's like $20 for these things. So
what?
The Peapod one on Amazon is $20.60.
So what did you end up doing with it? Did you just like get rid of it? I'm imagining you didn't actually give it to Elle.
No, I didn't. It's in my house in a box. I was very concerned what Steve might think if he found this thing, like, you know, hidden in a box.
Or your mother-in-law.
Or my mother-in-law. Yeah. So I immediately told him about it. And it's just sitting in this box in my room. And I think I'm just going to re-gift it back to the Buy Nothing group and, you know, find someone with a great sense of humor who wants to slap people on the face with it.
Oh,
I don't know.
Boy. Well, I know what to avoid in the Amazon checkout.
Yeah. When you're doing your shopping, gift shopping, avoid that one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to skip these altogether. Do you remember our friends? I won't say who. Well, we went to a friend's bachelorette weekend years ago, and someone thought it would be hilarious to bring this like giant, was it purple? This giant purple sparkly dildo.
Oh my God, it was huge.
And all pose for pictures with it. Somehow that got passed on to me for my bachelorette. And
what?
I had this, and then I, you know, it's like someone brought it and they were like, remember this? And you weren't there because I think Elle was what, like 3 months old, not even 3 months old at that point.
Oh yeah, like 6 weeks old, I think. Yeah,
she was tiny. But someone brought it and like, haha, remember this? And so we took more pictures with it. But then I was stuck with it for the longest time, and it was like shoved into the, like the back of my closet. I remember thinking like, Corey's gonna find this one day and be like, okay, you know, giant sparkly purple dildo, and why is it in like our linen closet?
Yes, there's nothing wrong with having dildos and sex toys and
everything.
That's great, but this was definitely a party dildo that was probably about 18 inches long and a girth of, I don't know, the size of a large apple. I mean, it is ginormous and just over the top.
It was definitely over the top. And also, it's like, you know, I don't think people are keeping dildos in their, like, broom closet, you know, generally.
No, not that I know, am aware of.
I think I finally just threw it away because I was like, when we moved, I was like, no one wants the burden of, like, the big purple dildo anymore. And all my friends are married. Like, it's over. Its reign is over.
Yeah, you can give it away on your Buy Nothing group. Ours has like a after hours night once a month.
Oh, really?
Yes, where everyone gets on and like offers up they're supposed to be new items, anything, you know. It's like, oh, I have this sexy lingerie. Anyone want it? So.
Wow. That has never happened in my Buy Nothing group. Your Buy Nothing group is way more interesting than mine.
Oh, it's a good one. Anyway, that's all for me. Should we take a break and move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFN this week.
No.
Yeah, I do.
It's okay.
It's okay. The other day I put Cece down for a nap and she was doing great, quiet, putting herself to sleep. And so I left. And within 5 minutes, she was screaming so loud. And I know this happened recently and it was because her doll woke her up. This is completely different story. Okay. Screaming and she's like, ow, 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 no, 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 Momo, which is no, right?
Yeah,
ow,
yeah.
Ow. And so I'm like, oh my God, I ran in there and I've never seen her so upset and so in pain. And aww. I was like, what in the hell happened? And then I noticed she's grabbing her right arm and her right arm is like barely moving. It's like kind of hanging down at her side limply. And when she tries to move it, she just screams in pain. And
oh, no.
I think we've talked about this before on the show.
And oh, yes.
Yes. And I immediately thought to myself, oh, I bet she got nursemaid's elbow, which is when like their elbow becomes like dislocated. And they can't move their arm and it is extremely, extremely painful. We've taken Elle to the urgent care a couple times for this condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's really common between the ages of like 1 and 3 or something like that. What was it?
Yeah, that like sounds
toddlers
about right.
Get it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have like looser joints. And I just remembered that the last couple days, she's really been into, you know, how kids do. They hold their arms up and you hold them by their hands and swing them around in circle. And it's fun and hilarious. And I'd forgotten that's totally what caused Elle's nursemaid's elbow. And I'd just been doing it the last couple days. And so I was like, oh my God, I felt so bad. Steve came in and you're like, I don't know. What should we do? What should we do? And he's like, well, I watched a video recently about how to try at home, popping it back in. And he just took charge. He was like, Dr. Steve, she's screaming. And he's just like calm and like holding her little elbow and like kind of twisting it and feeling it and stuff. And all of a sudden she stopped crying. And he's like, oh, I did. I felt a pop in her elbow. And then she's moving her arm and she's completely fine.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, it's such a roller coaster. This nursemaid's elbow, it is one of the scariest things to go through, especially when you don't know what it is. It's like, did she break her arm? Like, in bed? So confusing.
Yeah, you actually talked about it in episode 106. Mm-hmm. So a while back, it was in a What I Googled This Week segment, where I think you talked about how you had figured out that there are like videos, right? YouTube videos from doctors about how to like self-treat nursemaid's elbow safely at home.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously everyone should, you know, get the permission of their doctor. And we're not medical professionals. So, you know, everything at your own risk. But there are ways to just gently manipulate the wrist and the arm, right? To get it to sort of pop back in.
Yes. And I will say another clue that it was definitely nursemaid's elbow was I went back and reviewed the footage of her room of what happened.
Uh-huh.
And she was just rolling over to get comfortable in place and must have rolled on it in a weird way. So every time my kids have had this, it's something so subtle and so slight that just kind of like tweaks it. It's not like a big accident. So if your kid like trips and falls and on a hard surface or something and they're screaming, you might want to think, ooh, maybe I should take them to urgent care, the emergency room. But so the clues I put together, and then so he tried that and it worked. So that in effect is a BFP, but the scariness for me and for her, oh my God, to hear your baby scream, ow, 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 no, 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 ow, heart-wrenching.
Yeah, ugh. It's really clear, I've discovered, that when they're like in serious pain versus like once they get to this age, especially, you know how your kid cries.
Yeah.
So you can like tell what the cry means. The worst one we had was, so we were out and my guy's thumb ended up getting like smashed, kind of like thankfully nothing was broken or anything, but it just got smushed for a second, sort of like the way it would get smushed in a like a car door, but it wasn't a car door. But anyway, I don't want to get into the details, but the poor guy, I mean, the way he cried, it just gutted me, because you know, I could tell it was different. I could tell it wasn't just like a little ouchy, you know, it was just like that gasping for air, sobbing. It just gives me chills.
So heartbreaking. And then it does put into perspective their cries for when they want a snack. It's like, okay.
Yes. Okay, yeah, exactly.
I've seen you when you're in real pain. You can calm down about having goldfish right now.
Yeah,
that's not an emergency.
Yeah. Graham cookies. Like, you're okay.
Knack. Okay, calm down. Oh, so cute. Okay, so that's mine. What do you got for us this week?
Oh, man. Okay, well, I have a BFP.
Okay.
Thankfully. Good. So my BFP is what we've been calling in our house, night cheese.
Night cheese. Okay, I am dying to know what night cheese is.
It's pretty much exactly what it sounds like.
Okay.
It is having cheese right before bed. So I picked up on the term night cheese because it was in like a 30 Rock episode.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. Liz Lemon was like home and relaxing and she was singing. I think she was singing Night Moves by Bob Seger, but talking about her night cheese, right?
Oh, and if there's anyone who loves night cheese, it's definitely got to be Liz Lemon.
Liz Lemon. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she was like working on my night cheese. And like, so one night this week, we've had a couple early wakings recently, And, you know, there had been daylight savings recently and just stuff was sort of discombobulated. Like I said, there was also like just a lot of ambient stress in the world. And one night I just realized, like, you know, his bedtime has been getting pushed later and later because his bath time is just taking longer. His dinner's just taking longer. And he wasn't eating as much at dinner for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I need to give him a bedtime snack. And that's not like revolutionary. Lots of people do bedtime snacks, mm-hmm. right? But I was like, I need to figure out a like high fat, high protein snack that will like take him through the night, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me that night cheese was the solution.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's high fat, high protein, right?
What kind of cheese do you give him?
So we either do string cheese or those little like Baby Bell rounds.
Mm, you know, the yum, little those are good.
Round ones. Yeah. So, and he loves cheese. So we gave him night cheese one night and the next morning he slept until 7 a.m.
What?
And then he did it again.
Wow.
What? So
night cheese is a dream come true.
Night cheese, and I know it won't work for Cece because she doesn't do the dairy, but there might be some like version like night peanut butter or something that's like high fat, high protein.
Night deli meat.
Night deli meat.
She likes deli meat.
Yeah. And it hasn't been 100%. Like, we've done night cheese and he's still woken up early a couple times. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather you do the night cheese and have him not wake up hungry than not, right? Mm-hmm. The other really cute thing is that now he says he wants night cheese.
Oh, I just knew it. Oh, my God. He's expecting it. He wants his night cheese.
He's like, night cheese, night cheese. And then the other day I was trying to give him cheese as a snack. He goes, night cheese. I'm like, no, it's daytime cheese. He goes, daytime cheese.
Oh, that's too cute. Well, that's a good suggestion for anyone who's looking to improve their morning wake up times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was worried it might cause a tummy ache while he was sleeping, but that's been fine. So, because we don't do milk. He doesn't like milk. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the typical is like drink a glass or bottle of milk before bed, right? And that helps carry you over. But he doesn't like it. So mm-hmm. he has never been interested in milk. So night cheese to the rescue.
Yay.
But anyway, I feel like we should wrap it up.
Okay.
Now I want cheese.
Me too. Let's go get cheese right after we do our credits. Listeners, if you have any ideas for Laura and me about baby-proofing the doors on your home, please reach out. We want to know. Laura, how can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You could also send us an email, and if you want to include a voice memo in that email, you get extra gold stars to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Finally, you can join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join. Just answer the 2 membership questions, and we'll let you right on through to all the really, really great conversations we're having in there, and you can tell me how I can keep my toddler from escaping the house.
If you love our show, please rate and review it wherever you listen and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.